How do you tie in the findings of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the interpretations of the Nag Hammadi right around that period, with extraterrestrials? How's that tie in?
The remarkable thing is that in both of those documents, in different ways, UFO and ET contact is demonstrated. Both of those documents refer explicitly to alien contact in slightly different ways. The Dead Sea Scrolls from Israel tend to refer more to what we would call the hardware side. They contain descriptions of sightings. They describe sightings.
Close sightings?
Yes. Close sightings and close encounters.
All right,
with reptilian-type entities.
Oh, you've got to tell me about this. This is in the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. And not only that, but hang on. In the other documents, which come from Egypt, so we're talking Egypt-Israel here,
right,
which come from the Nile, the Nag Hammadi text, just let me tell you a little about them.
Sure.
They are written on papyrus leaves, and those papyrus leaves were cut into pages and bound in books. And so the Nag Hammadi codices, as they're called, the codice is simply a Latin word for a book. They are the first examples that we have of actually bound and numbered books. The oldest existing books in the world are the Nag Hammadi codices. And they contain, written in the language called Coptic, explicit descriptions of face-to-face encounters with alien beings, abductions by night, and other close encounters such as we're familiar with today.
Why was this not so widely known, or at least broadcast to people?
Well, this hasn't been broadcast to people simply because, and I think this is more or less obvious, and you'll get a laugh out of it, scholars are spooked by this. Because the experts, and I've met a few of them, you know, experts in ancient Hebrew, experts in this weird language called Coptic that the Nag Hammadi materials are written in, these are men and women who have spent their whole life studying religion and the history of religion, and they are not, as professionals, accustomed to putting their imagination into the area where extraterrestrials come into play.
Do you think this information, John, was quashed because of so-called higher-ups in various religious foundations?
Well, that's very possible. Excuse me, I'm just letting the cat in the door.
All right, get the cat in. We don't want the cat to get lost, so we've got to take a moment, go get her.
Sit at my feet here and advise me.
Okay.
There's a couple of ways to answer that. In the first place, I don't think today that there has been necessarily an explicit attempt to censor this material because of its ET content. Like I said, I think it's just something that scholars can't handle. It goes outside of their field of discipline and it spooks them. I mean, I swear to you, I've studied these materials, and especially the Nag Hammadi writings, for a very, very long time. It is so obvious and clear what they are talking about that you would have to put a blindfold on not to conclude that this is extraterrestrial contact. Yet no scholar has come out and admitted that.
All right, give us, if you can, for both the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nag Hammadi, give us an example of each, if you can, John, to give us a perspective of why some scholars aren't agreeing with this, and then those like you are.
Well, I'll give you an example from each set of documents.
Okay.
Now, remember, the Dead Sea Scrolls are the record of a Waco, Texas-like cult. And they are not a record of mainstream Judaism, of the beliefs of mainstream Judaism. They're really apocalyptic. And what does apocalypse mean? It means that this particular cult, called the Zadikim, were awaiting the end of the world in Palestine in 2,000 years ago. And their vision of the end of the world is what I call mystic and militaristic. They saw the end of the world as a mystical or supernatural event on the one hand,
mm-hmm.
but they also saw it as a military event, as a war. They looked forward to the liberation of Palestine from Roman occupation. They wanted to see their cult triumph over the powers of the Roman Empire. And since they were a tiny little splinter cult consisting only of some thousands of people, couple of thousand people living in the remote desert, they would not have been able to win this battle without supernatural assistance.
True.
So if that'll give you some idea of their mindset, you will find that in the Dead Sea Scrolls, for instance, in a set of documents called the Songs of the Sacrifice of the Sabbath, they describe what are called the Kedoshim. And the Kedoshim are heavenly angels who are going to come out of the sky in shining round chariots and assist this cult in overcoming the massive war machine of the Roman Empire.
My.
And if you would like, I'll just read you a couple of lines of this because
yeah,
of the impact of the direct material.
This is dramatic, yeah.
This is a eyewitness account from the Dead Sea Scrolls of the Kenoshim, or the heavenly angels, who are going to come and rescue them. They do not sit still, the glorious chariots, the shining wheels, the spirits of God. When they move, they do not turn aside. They go straight up. When they rise, the murmuring sound of God is heard, and there is an uproar of exultation. The murmuring sound of God's. And when they move, it is as if glorious wheels with the likeness of fire move in the sky. Around them is the likeness of electrum, a luminous substance, and they are gloriously multicolored. And there is a murmuring voice when they move, and they rise up wonderfully, and then they settle and stand still where they are.
That sounds exactly like a sighting.
It sounds exactly like a sighting. You know, we have evidence of course, millions and millions of sightings, and that evidence is vastly varied. But there is one thing that is absolutely consistent, is that this particular movement of the UFOs, which are shining, round, radiant, luminous vehicles, defy the laws of gravity, don't they? They move and they rise and they settle and they stop in ways that, for instance, jet planes cannot do.
And I'm going to tell you, John, that's a better description of a UFO sighting than most that we're getting in modern times.
It is indeed. It is. It's extremely clear. And so there's evidence, textual evidence at least, in ancient Hebrew from about 2,000 years ago of sightings of the vehicles, of the hardware.